The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Terra Nova. I also cover the top movies, Beer House, Liquid A, and a new segment called Exaggerated Headlines. All this and more happening now on Revelator.
Delivering the goods at every freaking turn.
No doubt about it. Welcome to Revelator. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. As always, big show for you tonight. We have the band Terra Nova stopping by in just a moment, so definitely stick around for that. And some really interesting stuff. And a new segment I'm going to call tonight, it's called Exaggerating the Headlines, where I'm going to take two headlines that I saw on the internet, music-related headlines, and then just kind of write my own little story for them, just based off the headline alone. So it should be pretty fun. But I start off tonight with Liquid A. Everyone was like, what the heck is Liquid A? Well, Liquid A is actually liquid ass, okay? This is a real product, okay? You can go to Amazon.com and look up liquid ass and read some of the reviews on liquid ass. But this is a practical joke kind of gone awry. Now, Liquid Ass reportedly sent six Bible campers in Maryland to the hospital, according to the Fallon Patch. Deer repellent also played a particular blame in the contamination of the Belfour camp. The camp was called Woe Me Too Camp. Well, Liquid Ass and Woe Me Too Camp. This happened last Wednesday night, where reportedly the campers suffered from eye and respiratory infection because of liquid ass. Now, liquid ass is described on the product's website as a uniquely stinky butt crack smell in a bottle, great for practical jokes and gag gifts. I don't know if anybody else finds this humorous, but I sure as hell do. Can you imagine the sermon this past Sunday here in Maryland? I can just imagine, you know, they, you know, having their crab cakes and everything, but like, this is not God's work. God did not want liquid ass to come into the Woe Me Too camp and hurt our Bible campers. But none of the kids were seriously harmed. They just smelled like shit, basically. You know, so, I mean, the Bible campers are fine. They're still going to, you know, head back to Woe Me Too camp and, you know, clean them up, scrub them up. You know, God bless. Moving on tonight, Beer House. Now, a child of the Great Depression, John Malkovich, didn't throw away anything. He didn't throw a single empty beer can away either. In the afternoons, he enjoyed drinking with his wife. Now, in the early 70s, when aluminum siding was really starting to hit the big rage, he lugged all the cans from his attic of years and years of drinking and collecting cans. Instead of recycling them, he decided to make an aluminum can house, or basically decorate his house in beer cans. Now, he passed away in the mid-1980s, but his wife, Mary, still lived there until her death in the 1990s. Determined to preserve the piece of folk art, local nonprofit Orange Show Center of Visionary Art brought the property about 10 years ago. They became carefully restoring some of the cans and, you know, ones that were rusted or broken down, those type of things, and actually opened the house to the public. A lot of beer was put in to this. Estimated 50,000 cans make up this house. Now, that's an average of drinking a six-pack a day in a span of 20 years. Wow. Now, it's also, to do this is working for 17 months total nonstop straight if you were to build this aluminum can house made of beer cans. So over 17 months of straight work was put into this. And if you're interested in seeing the beer can house, it's at 222 Malone Street in Houston, Texas. It opens Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. It's open year-round, Memorial Day and Labor Day. It's also open on weekends as well. You can take a tour of the house grounds for $2, and guided tours are $5. So not only is it cheap, but you can also take a tour of the beer can house. Now, the cans that were made, that were used in making this house, Budweiser, of course, the king of beers. If you're going to build your house made of beer cans, you better have some Budweiser cans there. And a couple other cans like that I don't recognize at all. So I don't believe that there are even beer companies anymore. But Budweiser seems to be the pick there for old John Malkovich, who, liked to drink beer. So apparently people would come up to the house, you know, when he was alive. You know, it was obviously a talking point. And he would do what he always did and would share beer with people and explain what he was doing with the house. It was very, very cool. His life work was drinking over 50,000 cans of beer and turning his house into a beer can house. Very interesting stuff. Now, sad news report. Radio personality David Kidd Kradrick died this past Saturday at the age of 53. The radio host was based in New Orleans. He was at a charity golf tournament for kids' kids. The final day where he spent, basically doing this charity event, he ended up passing out on the golf course. The late reports have come out now that they believe it was some type of brain aneurysm due to a circulation issue. He originally got his start in the Dallas market in the mid to late 1980s, and the Kidd Kradrick Morning Show was syndicated over 100 different cities throughout the United States at the only age of 53. So very, very scary. So, I guess based off that, I still got a little time left, but I guess it just shows to show you that, life is short. So definitely enjoy your time while you have it. And David was a great DJ and, really kind of came up during the golden age of radio, really in the 80s and the early 90s before obviously things changed quite a bit. But really great DJ and did a lot of great things in the community and all the communities that he was a part of, did a lot of great things for kids. So it was definitely a major loss for the radio community. I wanted to share that with you tonight. Now, upcoming romantic film starring James Gandolfini. This is the last film he actually ever has done before his death this past June 19th while he was on vacation in Italy. Now, he had reservations about this role because it's a playing a romantic lead. They said he was absolutely fabulous, and this movie will be released. The title of the movie is called Sad Enough. It's going to be released in September at the Toronto Film Festival, September 15th. Looks to be the release date there, and it looks like it'll hit select theaters September 20th. So definitely look for that. It's called Enough Said, starring the late James Gandolfini. Now, this next story, I saw this and I wasn't quite sure what to think of it. And I'm reading. I'm like, this guy's a nut. Like, I've come across some pretty crazy stories. This one takes the cake for sure. Joseph Brannan has, what you call a burning ambition to be a firefighter, and his plans to be a firefighter have really taken a new level. Now, Joseph is 18 years old. He's in some serious legal issues because he wanted to prove that he could be part of the fire department. So he did what anybody else would do and join the fire department. No. He decided, no, I'm not going to join the fire department. I'm going to set fire to the local library and wait for the fire department to show up so I can put the fire out. Where else did this take place? But of course, it took place in Florida. A lot of these crazy stories we always find took place in Florida. The incident actually occurred on July 6th at the Branch Library in Brookville, Florida. Investigators immediately suspected foul play when they arrived on the scene and they saw a man identified as Joseph Brannan decked out in his own firefighter gear. Brannan told authorities he heard the firefighter call over the scanner and wanted to help fight the blaze with the equipment he purchased on eBay. Obviously, he was not allowed to go near the fire because he's not a member of the fire department. And upon further investigation, he ended up, confessing that he did set the blaze at the local library. Now, I guess I don't have a problem. He wants to prove that he wants to be a firefighter, but pick an abandoned building. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go pick the local library and set that on fire. Unbelievable. Like, dude, find an abandoned building somewhere in Florida and set that on fire, No, I'm going to pick the local library. What a freaking nut. And now he's facing, arson charges and among other things as well. Unbelievable. All I can say is...
cool.
Fire, 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 fire.
Anytime you can work Beavis and Butthead into a show, you got to do it. Fire, fire, fire. Joseph Michael Brannan, 18, really wants to be part of the fire department. He really, really, really wants to fight fire. That is one scary dude right there. Telling you right now, that guy, he's obviously seen Backdraft maybe one too many times. All right. Now we head into music news. Now everyone knows we had a band Luminoth on back in June. Really good guys. And this past week, I actually got an invite from the guys to go down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. They were opening up for Hailstorm down there. So again, the guys from Luminoth, thank you very much. I had a great time and a great show. I'm telling you, I got to hear three new songs that they're. They're working on their third album right now, working with Brian from 10 Years down in Chattanooga. The new songs are great, so definitely look for new stuff from them. We'll have them on the show again when the new album comes out. But thanks for the invite. And Hailstorm was phenomenal from top to bottom. Lizzie Hale, you want to talk about a woman that can sing? Wow, that girl can sing. And her brother, as a drummer, is an absolute maniac. Probably one of the craziest drum solos I've ever seen. Hailstorm is the real deal. That was one hell of a rock show. And thanks to the guys from Luminoth for having me out there. It was a really good time. And I'll see you guys here very soon, coming up in September, hanging out with the guys from 10 Years. So looking forward to that. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. Now, moving on to music news. I'm happy to report this. Orange Goblin, who I'm a huge fan of from the UK, have announced their first headlining North American tour, which starts September 27th in New Orleans. That is going to be a wild show because those guys are maniacs on stage. And if you like old school metal, those are the guys to check out right there, Orange Goblin. And we're working on trying to get them on the show before that tour starts as well. So stay tuned here on RevelatorOmnis.tv. Now, this is a segment I talked about earlier in the show, headlines. I take two headlines that I saw and I write my own story for it, okay? The first one was pot was found in Bieber's bus while on tour in Detroit. My first thought was, have you been to Detroit? I say, Bieber, smoke it up, toke a bowl, clear the bong. He didn't piss on anybody, so it doesn't matter. I say, Bieber, I've been to Detroit. It'll make you want to smoke a bong. Also on the headline, Madonna. Now, this is the headline. Madonna became Madonna. An oral history. All I can say is I'm sure it is a very, very oral history. Yeah. Anyway, moving on tonight, Nirvana. Information is coming out about the 20th anniversary of Nirvana's third and final studio album, In Utero. In addition to the original album being re-released, an expanded re-release will feature previously unreleased demos, B-sides, and live tracks, including a complete live performance from 1993 featuring the final touring lineup of the band. The Super Deluxe reissue will span three CDs and one DVD. The reissue will also be available on two CDs and three LP packages. And the Live and Loud concert film is from December 13th, 1993, will be available as a standalone DVD as well. So very interesting to see. No official release date for that as of yet, but looks like it is going to come out. When we have a date, I'll obviously pass it along for you. Hard to believe that, you know, that December 93, that would only have been literally like four months before had the suicide of Kurt Cobain. And also sad news to report, singer-songwriter J.J. Cale passed away. Now, many may not be familiar with Cale, but he was, you know, instrumental in writing some of the most popular songs in the last, you know, 30, 40 years, if not more. He passed away at his home at the age of 74. At a hospital after suffering a heart attack in California. Known as a relaxed blues style and folk and jazz songwriter, he got his start in Tulsa, Oklahoma before joining the Grand Ole Opry. And in 1964, he moved to Los Angeles where he worked as a recording engineer with Leon Russell. He worked his first single with Liberty Records in 1965. He wrote After Midnight as a B-side. Obviously, it was originally picked up by Eric Clapton. He was quoted in saying in an interview for the Chicago Sun-Times in 1990s, I'm a background person. I'm not a household name. People have heard my music, but all the famous songs were made by somebody else, a career that spans decades and dozens of albums. Eric Clapton later scored his first solo hit as well with Cocaine. Lynyrd Skynyrd found similar success with Cale's Call Me the Breeze. Cale won a Grammy in 2006 for collaboration with Eric Clapton as well. And, you know, again, passing away at the age of 74 last week. Great, so, you know, always, you know, people don't talk about, you know, these people who die in the music industry that, you know, kind of go unnoticed, that kind of behind the scenes that really were instrumental in, you know, writing and creating some of the music we lay and still enjoy to this day. And I thought it was important to bring it up. Now, another story you've probably seen out in the news here, and Terra Nova will be joining us here momentarily, so definitely stick around for that. David Draiman of Disturbed and the band Device was offended by Roger Waters because he used the star David on his performance. Now, look, David Draiman, I think, is an arrogant man, to say the least. And he demanded an apology. Demanded an apology from Roger Waters because he used the star David. Now, I want David Draiman to apologize to me for making the album and the band Device and making it sound just like Disturbed. I want an apology for that. What a crap album that was. My God. I listened to it and I was like, oh, Device. I was like, man, David Draiman, maybe he's going to do something a little different. And I put it in and I go, well, this might as well have just been called Disturbed with special guest, because that's basically what that album was. It's not very good at all, at least in my opinion. Yeah, I'm opinionated. David Draiman's opinionated. But to come out, you know, David Draiman has come out and made religious remarks and political remarks. He does it all the time. And it just because you don't agree with his opinion, he automatically wants you to apologize to him. I say, that's crap. Roger Waters has not reached out to him, has not apologized, nor should he. And we'll leave it at that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, joining us at this time, we have Don, Doug, and David from the band Terra Nova.
Woo! Yes.
Wonderful. Hey, Ryan. Hey, thanks for joining me tonight. A little late, but I'm glad you guys are here. How in the heck is your evening going for you?
It's going good now that we're all hooked up and talking to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, before we get started here, why don't you take a moment, introduce yourselves, and let us know exactly what you do with the band Terra Nova.
Oh, okay, I'll start. I'm Dave Solowitz. I'm the bass player, and I have a lot of fun.
I'm Dawn Lindsay, the co-founder of the band, and lead singer and co-writer.
I'm Doug Sam, lead guitar and occasional comedy relief. Coffee addict.
Coffee addict. Well, that's, I'm a coffee addict too, man. I don't get going unless I at least get a couple cups of coffee in me. So I definitely relate there. Now, I got to ask. Don, I know you're into the hot tight pants and stuff. You mentioned that on Twitter earlier, but we'll get into that a little bit. But
we have the Hell's Angels pulling up right now. Just kidding. And what was that? I'm sorry.
I don't know. You guys going for a ride here, or
it sounds like it, but no, actually, no. Right. We're observing.
It was a biker wannabe just drove by.
One of the middle of the week warriors, I want to talk about the band Terra Nova. How did you guys formed in 2010? Correct. Now, curious about how you all met and how you came up with the name Terra Nova.
Well, Doug and I had been working together. We did an album together 2003 to 2005. And we'd written some what we thought was pretty good stuff. And we had quite a few people encouraging us to get out there and play it. And after some things happened and we kind of parted ways for a while, nothing, we got along great, but we kind of parted ways for a while. And in 2010, we decided, let's do this thing. Let's put a band together. Let's get out there and play this stuff. So we called ourselves D&D Project back then. And we still have a MySpace thing. I can't make it go away because I don't have that email anymore. But D&D Project. So we decided, if we're going to be a band, we shouldn't be D&D Project anymore. So I pulled up really strange baby names, unusual baby names, and Terra Nova was one of them, and there were a few others, and we decided that since...
Baby names,
yeah.
That's a new one.
and Terra Nova means a new land, a new earth, a new beginning, and Doug and I haven't had our shortages of new beginnings, so we decided to go with that one. That was at least my reasoning. I don't know. He liked it. I think he just liked it.
No, it was more like Don called everyone up and said, "Hey, the name of the band's gonna be Terra Nova, okay?" Okay.
That's a lie. So okay. So then we played with a bass player and a drummer for a while, and it didn't really work out. So I kind of pulled the plug on the whole thing. Then Doug and I regrouped and started asking around, and this other bass player I knew Rico, who's our drummer now, Rico Ybarra, who's a phenomenal drummer.
Yep.
And he kept bugging me, Don, when are we going to get together? Don. So I placed an ad on Facebook for a bass player, and a good friend of mine, Andy Vollmer, pointed me David's way, and David's an impeccable bass player, just really phenomenal. And I was like, yes. So we all got together, we had a meeting, and it went really well. Our diverse backgrounds, kind of complemented each other, and here we are. We did our first show November 2011 or 12. Was it 12?
2011.
2011. And we got together in
October 2011.
October 2011.
We're feeding her. Yeah. We're basically pretty impatient.
Yeah. So we played some of the stuff that Doug and I had written, and now we've written bunch of new stuff. We're about ready to go back into the studio and record it. We have a great producer, Stevie Adamek, who's spying on us when we rehearse. But we think it's gonna be pretty cool.
Very
Did
cool.
That answer your question, Ryan?
Yeah, no, I think you definitely covered it. Now, I have to ask. I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. You mentioned baby names were used for obviously helping select the band name. Do you remember any of the baby names that you had, like maybe on a list or something that didn't make it? You know,
Liquid Ass.
Liquid Ass. Liquid Ass. It can't woo me.
Strike Star of David too, but that didn't really do
it. Right. David Draymond got pissed off about it. Yeah,
he wrote me a nasty text.
Oh, in all caps.
Jeez.
I just picture him, like, you know, sitting at his computer, like when he's on Twitter and stuff, and just like, I'm going caps, and he's just typing like, you don't agree with me, blah 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 blah, you know, just mad. I'm gonna make an album sound just like the last album I made and call it a different name.
What are those people doing before the internet?
Yeah.
God.
But anyway,
there are with bullhorns.
But moving on, I think I got my disdain for David Draymond.
Doug,
I feel
like
good.
This all on stage up too. Now,
we never get anything done.
Now,
Would you like control back?
Now, you mentioned in an interview I heard you guys do about, you know, musical influences like the Beatles, Zeppelin, Hendrix, obviously among others. But I'm curious, do you have any like early music memories that kind of where the light went off? Or like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to get into music. Do you remember? Is there anything any of you can answer this? You know, where, you know, something happened, whether it be your parents or brother or sister or somebody where you had, you know, a memory of seeing someone live or something like, man, I really want to do music. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, so this is David. I remember being in my very first band, actually, back in, I won't say, and we opened for Paul Revere and the Raiders, the real Paul Revere and the Raiders with Mark Lindsay.
You mean way back in the colonial days?
Yeah, back in the colonial days.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, for me...
Okay, that wasn't a very big one. Okay.
David really looks young for his age, let me just say that.
For 300.
It's the blood. It's the blood drinking.
For me, it was my mother used to listen to Joplin and Cream and Hendrix, and then my grandmother listened to Barbara Streisand and Elvis and Patsy Cline. So I had all these different influences coming in. As a young child, I started listening for similarities between the songs, and I kind of figured out how to write a song. I was a kind of a weird kid. So I think, though, I was 12, though, when I realized I was going to be a singer. I was a singer. I was going to be a singer when I was 12. How about you, Ryan? Right.
Well, I, you know, my musical career was very, very short. I think, my only song that I think I ever played on was, in a little group called, Mike can attest to this, Satan's Cream Puff, where I sang backup vocals on a little song called Fuck Texas, but, we'll leave it at that. So,
a new national anthem.
Yeah. And then I went and saw the beer house down. And, you know, so 50,000 cans later, but look, Don, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned, obviously, you know, obviously young age, you know, 11, 12 years old. Do you remember, like, is there certain vocalists at that time that you kind of pattern yourself after or that you still look at today?
Yeah. Robert Plant, of course. Paul Rogers. Not really Patsy Cline. I remember when Heart came out, I was so excited. And Fleetwood Mac, of course. You know, the ladies in Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, she's the first person I sung along with and tape recorded myself. And then I played it back. I was like, yeah, I can sing. I'm a singer. So, yeah, Jim Morrison. Just, I really love powerful singers. Pat Benatar, when she came out, I was completely floored. That woman was like a powerhouse. But mostly, I love Robert Plant most, and I think he inspired me most too.
Yeah, Robert Plant. I know he did a little project here in Nashville called I want to say something Band of Joy, I think. His voice has really held up quite a bit. You know, cause, you know, sometimes you know, the older singers, they kind of lose a little bit of their range stuff. But Robert Plant is one of those guys where you hear him sing today and you're like, yeah, that guy can still sing his ass off, you know. So I think that's interesting. Is there any like newer vocalists that you kind of you know, look at and you go, ah, you know, I dig what they're doing, or I dig that style or anything like that?
Yeah, the chick in Paramore, what's her name?
Justin Bieber?
No, not Justin Bieber. The gal in Paramore, I really like her a lot.
I think her name may be Haley, but don't quote me on that.
Yes, Haley. Yes, that's right, Haley. I think that, Carrie Underwood's got an awesome voice, but I cannot do country, no matter what. No matter how hard I try, I make everything sound like a rock song. So there's no country here. Yeah.
Right on.
Haley. I think that's about it.
It's a short list. That's all right. I'll tell you what, speaking of rock songs, let's take a quick break and we'll hear one of your guys' songs now. This is titled Get Out here on Revelator.
Let it out. Love's everywhere. We're open up.
Terra Nova here on Revelator. That is Get Out, hanging out with the band. Well, at least some members of the band, Don, Doug, and David from the band Terra Nova. Again, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate it. Hopefully you guys had enjoyed that first segment there. It was a little freelance and, shared a couple fun stories. But I'm curious about you guys. You released the album Peace Freak, which we'll get into a little bit, but obviously you've been playing a lot of live shows for quite a while now. You've been in the music industry for a bit, played with other bands and stuff. I have to ask you, what is the strangest venue you've ever played at? Or just the most interesting thing you've seen at a venue? You've gone into a place where, like, man, we've never played at X venue. You go there and you're like, God, I wish some other you would have warned us about this place, you know?
Well, when I was in a cover band, I played in a swingers club, and I got to go check out all the kinky rooms.
Oh, yeah, that place, the Manor.
The Manor. No, but the name that no one's supposed to speak in the music business.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all, like, top secret when you...
I think he's talking about this chapter, though. You know, honestly, almost every club we play is pretty okay and professional, and... there's not a lot of strangeness or bizarreness out there anymore. It's all just pretty straightforward.
Oh, the weirdest club I played at was, no offense to any bikers, but it was a biker bar out here called the Red Dog. And they have this little gazebo pointing out into the woods, and it was the weirdest thing. No lights.
Yeah.
Power going out in 5 minutes. Yeah. That's probably the worst.
So yeah. I think the swinger bar wins out on that one. I think
yeah, out there. Sorry.
You just put the robe on, get the pipe and some oils, and hang out afterwards.
They're all about that.
Some of the participants actually make their way onto the stage and do funny things.
You
on
get
their
to
amplifiers.
Spank their ass. They stick their ass up towards the stage, and you can. I smacked them hard, like. Get your ass away from me.
Are you a couple with a glow stick?
Are we getting a gig there soon?
And a ham sandwich?
No. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I wanted to play it.
It's pretty interesting. As the night progresses, you see more and more schlongs.
Then
stuff.
When they go to pay you, the provider wife, she'll stash the check in a kind of intimate spot, and you have to search for it.
Yes, that's right. You're right. I had to search for it one night.
So did I.
That's definitely a creative way for bobbing for apples. There's no doubt.
Yeah, she puts it in some places you would not believe.
And then there was a big Fraulein.
It was hers. She had in the crotch of her panties. I didn't touch anything, just the check. But I had to excuse me, will you spread your legs?
Wow. Well, I guess okay. I don't feel bad about asking this next question. I'll direct this to you, Don. What's the worst and the best pickup line you've heard at a show of a guy trying to pick you up at a show?
Oh my God!
What's the best pickup?
I think I've filed those away and then shredded them. I try not to even think about it.
Well, I'm glad that I could just come on the couch over here and let's talk it out.
So, want to buy a date?
I want to buy a date. I've never heard that before. Okay, that one.
Best pickup line. I think Tori would have a few of those, wouldn't she?
I can't think of any.
You know, we're probably the least interesting band he's ever had on this show.
No, definitely not. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you guys have any pre-show rituals? Kind of things you kind of do to kind of get ready? As a vocalist or even as you're playing guitar or bass or something. I mean, is there stretching, limbering up, doing vocal scales or certain things you guys kind of get into before a show or?
We all bathe together.
Yeah, that's it. Mr. Bubble.
For me, I'm like a baseball pitcher. I like do all these different weird things. I'm like OCD or something before a show. I always look in the mirror, check my lips, check my hair, check my eyes, and then warm up. Warm up and walk around. I have to go through the same little ritual every single time.
So for me, my ritual is pretty much an all day thing. I'm thinking about checking out my bases, making sure they're playing okay, loading my gear up, setting it up, and the whole, that whole process actually of setting up gear, believe it or not, I like it. And it's,
it shows.
It's part of the fun. Why, thank you.
I just pop a couple of Percocets.
No, David has the tidiest gear you'd ever seen. I think everything's in its original packaging. That's not an insult. That's impressive. Well, I'm trying to imitate that with my new microphone.
Yes, gear is expensive.
And stuff like, I'm losing wrappers already. I can't seem to keep a handle on them.
You know, if we lost wrappers, I wouldn't cry. The whole hip-hop scene could just piss off forever as far as I'm concerned.
You don't have any hip-hop fans.
Do you guys have rappers ever on your show?
No, actually, we have. I don't. I'm trying to think, even under the old banner unsigned, no. I don't think we've ever had a hip-hop band on that I can recall, or even anything really close. We pretty much have stick with rock, hard rock, you know, jazz, blues, jam band stuff. I mean, we haven't not that we wouldn't have a hip-hop band on, but they would have to be a really pretty sensational independent rap artist.
At least, like Macklemore. You know.
Macklemore. What's that?
Macklemore. What's he just that? Took over the Dick's drive-thru the other day to make a video.
Sounds like a fish.
Macklemore.
217, please drive-thru. No, but moving on tonight. Now, the album Peace Freak, which is, you released January of this year. Talk to me about, you know, the change from, you know, the recording, or at least the idea behind going in as a unit this time around, as opposed to the first EP in 2011?
Well, the first CD Don and I worked on, it was basically in our apartment. Our kitchen doubled as a recording booth, and my bedroom was, you know, the central command, and we did it all there. And the second album, Peace Freak, was done at...
Oh, done at Black Dog Studios.
Yeah, Black Dog. And it was a professional environment with...
With a jacuzzi.
With a jacuzzi, yeah. And the bells and whistles, and a little beer bar. And
beautiful.
A fireplace.
And mixed by our pro friend, Stevie Adamack.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to emulate as much as possible, even though it was in the studio. We said, look, let's see if we can just get this as live feeling as possible. So... Right. We didn't do a whole lot of takes on anything, you know. We just kind of tried to slam through everything as much as we could and get it all down.
Wanted it to sound organic and fluid and like Doug said, as live as possible. And that studio was a great place to do that too.
Yeah, we're kind of, I think we were kind of going for the 70s vibe, and I think we managed to capture it pretty well.
Something like that.
You know, the hippie of the 2013 era where they shower and they shave and they still have the peace and love thing, but they can like hold down a 9-to-5 and kind of blend in.
You mean we're like bohemian without the smell?
Yeah, we're bohemian without the smell.
Well, I don't know about
that. That's what, I think we were trying to capture that. Yeah, Doug?
We did all the rhythm tracks and pretty much all in one sitting, and then went back and overdubbed the leads and the vocals and all that the next day. It was done pretty quick, and
about 3 days, right?
Yeah. So, kind of like back in the day when bands went in the studio and recorded, they pretty much did it all there, solos and everything, and maybe a little cleanup later.
No,
as
I mean,
opposed to layering track over track over track and taking 9 months to do a song, you know.
Which I'd love to do,
yeah.
But we just, you know, we didn't have the resources, so we used that to our advantage.
No, I think the songs and everything that I've heard are really, really good, and the song we're going to hear next, Peace Freak, I think is a testament to the effort you put into creating something that is your own. Now, you also mentioned in a previous interview, it was a little while back, but this song, Peace Freak, was kind of the first song you guys have all kind of wrote as a unit, where you kind of felt like everybody really took part in, you know, having a say, or, you know, not necessarily, maybe lack of a better term there, but, you know, really more of a collaborated effort.
Yeah, it's true. So in this case, as I recall, Doug and Don came with a little bit less of the structured the structure that they normally bring. And Don mixed it up a little bit in terms of where the where the choruses and verses might need to be. But we all kind of figured out what our parts were going to be from there. And there was definitely much less in the way of example already there in terms of, for instance, me trying to figure out what the bass part might be like.
Peace Freak was originally way different, and I had it all on computer. And I said, here, Don, write some words to this.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then she did, and then it came time to play it, and it turned out the chorus I had in mind was where she wrote the verse, and, you know, the bridge was where she wrote the chorus and all that stuff. And so we kind of had to cut and paste it, and then that's what we ended up with, Peace Freak.
Well, you know.
It's kind of like a surfer rock. It's got like a surfer vibe to it, yet I don't know.
Well, yeah. But it kicks ass at the same time.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take our second break tonight, and we'll jam out. This is Peace Freak by Terra Nova here on Revelator. That is Terra Nova, Peace Freak here on Revelator, hanging out with the band. And I've been requested to, you know, they're like, well, you're in Tennessee right now. I was like, yeah, they're like, you don't have an accent. So I've been requested to do my Tennessee accent. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. Well, my next question for y'all tonight is this. One, I want to thank y'all for coming on. I hope you're having a heck of a time. I tell you what. Now, I know you've been working on a lot of different things. Okay, well, I'll stop there. No, no, seriously, you guys are involved in that's not a bad Southern accent for a Northern guy.
But you know what's strange is your voice kind of went up higher. So is it like hard to do in your regular tone, Ryan?
No, you just gotta squeeze down higher.
Yeah, well, it's the tight pants. You know, I switched out and I put my Wranglers on and put my boots on and stuff, and automatically I talk a little higher. So I had to stretch them out. You know, snug fit. You know? But in all seriousness, I know you guys are involved in a lot of charities around the community in the Seattle, Washington area. Talk to me about, you know, some of the charities you're involved with and how you got involved with them.
Well, we came across Charity Water. It's charity .water. It's charitywater.org, and we ran across that on Reverb Nation just by chance. You can donate. If you sell a song, you can donate half of it to that particular charity. And there's other ones you could choose from, but I was looking into them, and I thought it was really a beautiful, incredible thing that they do. Their thing is to make sure every person on the planet has access to water. And right now they're working a lot in Africa where a family, a mother and kids have to walk 8 hours a day to go get water every day. That's like their full-time job is to go get water. And that's near and dear to our heart. And that one we came across via Reverb Nation. And then David sent me I saw this thing on Facebook, one.org. And they're a real grassroots kind of real down home, real change. And they believe that the power of a song can really change a culture, can change a belief, you know, and they use like Bob Dylan as an example. So one.org, and they're all about, you know, societal changes and kind of, you know, people just getting back to being more real and looking out for each other. And then another one that we're into is Peace Beats. It's peacebeats.org, and the other one's one.org. Peace Beats is change through music. So a lot of our stuff is around music except for the charity water. And then we're really into Terra Rising Records. And you can find them on Twitter. It's Rising Terra. So I was just trying to find their website and my phone's, it's like we're having a lot of technical difficulties today. I can't get to it. So
well,
thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing. Now, it's funny you mention Terra Rising because they were actually – I've actually worked with Michael. He's been on the show. And really great cause. I mean, Michael and these guys have a lot going on with the music therapy. And, you know, now they have the new project of donating instruments to kids as well.
Yeah. So
Terra Rising, we look to have Michael back on at some point, you know, to talk about some of his new projects and, you know, for obviously furthering his – you know, his brand, and he's a great guy. He's wonderful to talk with. He's a big supporter of the show. And if you're interested, if you don't mind here in the middle of your guys' interview, episode number 5 on Revelator, if you're interested in finding a little bit more about Michael and his music therapy project and also, you know, everything he's up to. And, you know, Michael's a good guy, and we appreciate everything he does, you know, for kids, music therapy, people with mental illness, the list goes on and on there. So it's always, you know, I'm always happy to hear, you know, bands such as yourself and Michael, and there's a lot of other ones we've had on too. It doesn't take a whole lot. You know, just take a little bit of your time to give back to your community and stuff. And I think it's very important, and we always love hearing, especially me, always love hearing that type of stuff where bands aren't just, you know, out there playing shows, and which is important to be out there doing what you love, but it's also important to take a step back and give back. So I appreciate you sharing that information with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for allowing us to share it. It's really cool.
Right on. Well, now back to less serious things, I guess. I have to ask you, I always come up with these weird questions, and this is part of me writing interviews and stuff at like 1 or 2 in the morning after I get off work. But I have to ask, what is your worst day job or night job you've ever had?
Doug.
They're all suck. Jesus.
Good answer. Actually,
this band might be. I'm not sure.
No. I went to wash dishes in a convalescent home when I was in high school. It cured me of day jobs for my lifetime.
Now, let's see. Mine would be Jack in the Box.
You worked at Jack in the Box?
I did.
What's the secret to their milkshakes?
It was a long time
Jack
ago.
Jack in the Box. Mine was I soldered. Well, it's kind of cool and kind of lame. I worked with a torch and solder, and I put belt buckles together.
You did?
Uh-huh.
A torch and a solder?
I did, man. I had freaking flux all over my jeans and stuff every day when I get home.
You could parlay those skills into working at Guantanamo Bay or something.
Yeah, I might do that. I'll look into Guantanamo.
That was your worst job?
Well, it was, yeah, because I get burned. Yeah.
Do you ever solder your fingers together?
No, and it was stinky, you know. I'd be kind of stinky. I'd have to go take a shower every night.
Smart,
you know,
burnt flesh? Home.
No.
Okay. This what you're looking for?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. well, I'll tell you what, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And, what are the long-term goals? Now, you mentioned obviously writing new material and getting back in the studio. Do you guys have a set time frame for that by chance? Or?
Well, we've got all the music just about ready right now. It's really about planning the project and getting the funds together and that sort of thing. If I were going to guess, I'd certainly love to be starting recording by this fall. It's hard to say.
Well, we're doing a video for Pledge Music. We're going to involve our friends, family, our fans, you, everyone that wants to be involved in it. And the Hard Rock's given us permission to do the little 3-minute video there this coming Saturday night. So we're going to do that. We're going to do the pledge thing, raise funds,
right,
and then we're going to do our album. But we're going to involve everybody in picking out the songs, and, you know, the whole shebang that people do with Pledge Music.
Yeah, so we'll be launching that Pledge Music campaign.
Yeah, we've got about 13 songs for our next album. We have the title. It's A Thousand Shades of Aura Rays. With a string awesome. Attached to everyone,
and whips and chains, and
yeah.
Are you gonna have your CD release party at that swingers place, or?
Yeah, we're gonna record the
bondage night.
I'm buying a plane ticket, and I will be there.
Yeah. Seattle has a lot of dark secrets.
Use my name at the door.
Free bottle of lotion. I really appreciate it. It's been a fun time talking with all of you.
Fresh towel.
if people are interested in finding more about Terra Nova, how can they do so?
Go to terranovaband.com, terranovaband.com, and everything you need to know about us is right there.
Absolutely.
Or you can come to Don's house and we'll tell you all about it.
You can come to my badass bungalow.
We're having a party in a few weeks.
Yeah, you ought to come, Ryan.
Yeah,
you're invited. Sure. You're one of my favorite people out there in Twitter world. You know that, don't you?
Come on out.
I know you. I appreciate that. Sometimes I go on, I go on like certain sabbaticals where I don't tweet a whole lot, maybe on the weekends and stuff. And then like during the week, I'll promote the show, and then like, you know, some hashtag will come up and I just go bonkers and tweet a bunch of craziness. But,
I
appreciate, my followers, who, put up with my crazy antics at times and my weird sayings and whatnot. So, I appreciate you guys taking the time and look forward to having you back on when the new album's done. You know, we'll definitely, should do this again sometime.
Yes. Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
It's been a pleasure. And let's close out tonight with the song My Enemy. Is there anything we didn't know about the song before we close out tonight?
It's a dirty, angry, rotten, messy, filthy love song.
Right on.
Perfect.
That's a good point.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure. Keep in touch. This is Terra Nova, My Enemy, here on Revelator.
Over here and over there, stick with me.
Terra Nova here on Revelator. That is My Enemy. And again, thanks to Don, Doug, and David for joining us tonight from the band Terra Nova. For more information about this particular episode, episode number 21, Revelator on omnes.tv, head on over again to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 21. Revelator. Very good stuff from the band Terra Nova. We close out tonight with the movies like we always do. Number 10, working our way up to number 1. Number 10, Fruitvale Salvation. Number 9, RIPD at 6 million. The movie Heat, 6.9 million. Pacific Rim at 7.7 million. Red 2 at 9.3 million. Grown Ups 2 at 11.6 million. The movie Turbo at 13.7 million. Despicable Me 2 at 16.4 million. Number 2 at the box office, The Conjuring, at 22.2 million. And number 1 at the box office, no surprise at all, on its opening weekend, the movie The Wolverine at $53 million in its opening weekend. I heard it's very, very good. I mean, it's Wolverine just basically kicking ass. Now, the cool thing is, this is not a, I guess, kind of a spoiler alert, but you want to stick around for the credits to end. There's a little bit of a spoiler there about a new possible upcoming X-Men film as well. So definitely, if you go see The Wolverine, that's my tip to you. Do not leave. Hang out until the credits roll. Again, special thanks to Terra Nova. Also, shout-outs to Luminoth, Hailstorm, and Terra Rising Records. Michael, thank you for all you do. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was Episode 21, Beer Cans at the Swingers Club. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Rubber Letter, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Rubber Letter. Thanks for listening.